By the way, the word I was looking for when we were talking about Notre Dame was
French.
Sarcophagus. I kept saying like mummified body. They found a mummified. I could not find the word sarcophagus. I was listening today. I was like, sarcophagus. God damn it.
Welcome to Namely 90. The podcast that takes you back to the time before smartphones, Google, and Y2K. Join your hosts as they relive the pop culture that shaped a generation and the parts that many people wish they could forget. Listen in to the conversation about how the decade defined those who spent their childhood there and how it shaped them as adults. So, turn down the grunge and dial up the internet. Let's get started. It's time for Namely 90s.
That's right. You're listening to Namely 90s. My name's Andrew, and over there is Brandon.
That's me.
You can find us online at namely90s.com or on Twitter and Instagram at namely90s with a 90s. You can also find this show on YouTube every Monday at namely90s.com/YouTube. And finally, if you'd like to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/namely90s, also with a 90s, and get signed up for one of our support levels. Oh, wow. We've made it to our next special, and this is a good one.
Yeah. The one that you've actually been looking forward to since we decided on watching Leprechaun for the first time.
Oh, Leprechaun. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited. I did some prep work here for the first time ever, basically, and we're going to talk about it. But, boy, what has your week been like?
Really? You're not going to say, welcome to our Jurassic Park special.
Welcome to Jurassic Park special, namely 90s. No, yes, we're doing Jurassic Park, which is one of our favorite movies. Of course, and what's not to like? Well, as it turns out, quite a bit, but it's also a lot of fun.
I mean, if you have regular shit chat you want to talk about, go ahead, but I have my review for Jurassic Park Dominion ready to go.
No, I guess I don't have particular chit chat.
This will be spoiler free as this is like good. Coming out at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, because it actually released today, the day we're recording,
exactly.
Thursday, the 9th of June. And I do want to go see it, but
without being spoiled.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like just...
Spoiler alert, Chris Pratt is a douchebag.
Just yesterday, like, so earlier in the week, like, I think it was like last week probably, I saw a review on IO9 or Gizmodo or whatever saying, oh yeah, Jurassic Park, there's some good stuff, there's some bad stuff, whatever, it's worth watching, maybe renting. And just yesterday, they had a second person review it on their website, and it's like, Jurassic Park Dominion is trash.
How are the reviews looking on boingboing.com, the only place where I get my news from now on? Call back to last episode.
Boingboing.com. The Rotten Tomatoes isn't generous either, now that all the negative reviews have come out.
Here's the thing. First of all, I thought that said Jurassic World Damnation. The dinosaurs are preachers. They're just going around. Anyway.
I mean, to be fair, I wrote Domination.
I know, but it looked like it said Damnation, which made me laugh because I can't read.
Now it's now sitting at a 35% on the tomato meter.
Here's the thing. I realize it's not going to be a good movie. No one expects the sixth movie to be spectacular. It has all of the main act. I need to see it because I want to like bring it full circle. You know?
You want to go, I know that person.
And then at the end, I'll be like, wow, what a letdown. Way to destroy the franchise. But until
at the same
time,
you'll be like, I don't think I saw the fifth movie.
Yeah. What about a new Jurassic Park with Tobey Maguire? Just kidding. I'm sorry.
Presenting Tobey Maguire as Dr. Alan Grant.
In Jurassic Park 1.
Andrew Garfield Ian Malcolm.
Oh, dear Lord. No.
Zendaya as Dr. Zendaya? Zendaya as Dr. Ellie Sattler.
Yeah. Anyway,
one thing I will spoil for you is that Sam Neill's American accent has not gotten better over the last 30 years.
Yeah, I just learned now that he's not American.
I believe he's Kiwi, I think. He's a new, I'm pretty sure he's
going to say Zealander. Cuban. I was like, what? Yes.
The classic Cuban actor, Samuel. but there was one point where he says Ellie in the movie.
Ellie.
And it sounded like he said Allie. I'm like,
okay, yeah, I can
see couldn't that, redo actually. This take. They couldn't do one more take of him saying,
they're out of money. They're out of film.
It seems like it. But it was, I'll be honest, I don't think it needs to be panned the way it is. It's better than the previous movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that it has all three cast members in it, more than just like the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift style cameo at the end of the movie, like the previous one, which was bullshit.
Yeah, so they're like in the movie.
They are in the movie.
They're not they're in the beginning and then
I would venture to call them main characters.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for, you know.
The unfortunate part is that the three of the returning actors from the previous movie are also main characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two main characters in a plot device. And
is that an ABC sitcom? Sorry.
We could make it into one. Pitch it right now. But it was good. It was nice seeing all three of them back on the screen.
Is the girl the plot device or the pizza place? I guess it depends on which season you're watching.
That's a good point. I'm going to omit answering that question. Having just watched Jurassic Park last night and none of the sequels between then and seeing Dominion, that was a little jarring because everyone aged 30 years instantly.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, I'm old now.
Yeah, everyone aged except B.D. Wong, who is immortal, apparently. He's like Keanu Reeves. He just doesn't age.
Sorry, four returning characters from the previous movie. Shoot. Spoilers.
And he's from Law & Order, SVU.
He is. I learned that last night writing the Namely 90s Minute for this week.
He plays an FBI profiler named...
George Huang?
Huang.
Is it Huang? It's H-U-A-N-G.
Huang. Yeah, Huang.
I don't know how to pronounce that correctly. Because it's no longer AAPI month. That's said as a half AAPI member.
Now, what does that acronym mean for those of us who have
Asian American Pacific Islander?
Asian American Pacific Islander. Okay.
It was our month last month, apparently.
And for the rest of the year, quiet down. No, just I'm kidding. It's always sad when you have a month and then it's like, oh, now that the month is over, you can just go back into the hole you crawled out from.
Exactly. the movie wasn't good, obviously, but no. It's a summer blockbuster, and the premise is dumb, and I wish that it went more back towards its roots in having, again, just watched Jurassic Park last night. I wish it was closer to that film than like the first.
Well, it's Jurassic important World to was. Recognize that the concept of Jurassic Park is actually like really, I mean, it's smart, you know, mm-hmm. It's because it was written by a really good author who also helped with the screenplay. And then after he's not involved, it sucked. And I will still say the book is better. I mean, but it's only if you like technical writing and like, it's which really good.
So many people do.
Well, he's a best-selling author for a reason.
And the creator of ER. You have a good point. This movie really just shows how it's not Jurassic Park. It's not John Williams doing the score. I'm pretty sure it's Michael Giannacchino. You know that guy. It's a composer.
It feels a little pandery.
It feels like they copied and pasted it, and then just stripped out everything that was good.
Ouch.
No, that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was good.
There's a difference. It's like watching a Nicolas Cage movie. You can enjoy the movie, and the acting can be shit. Plot can be terrible.
With six main characters, like
they're kind of fighting for, you know, screen time.
Right. But they're also not going to be fighting for their lives. And I'm sorry if that's a spoiler, but I didn't confirm or deny anything. I'm just saying there's a lot of plot armor protecting every main character in this series up till this point. Because no one wants to see them die.
Yeah.
Well, except for us older guard that want to see all of the new characters die.
Yeah.
And sorry, was that too spoilery?
No.
Okay. Really. Okay. Because it's an obvious.
The thing is, I don't even, like, even if it got spoiled, it wouldn't really ruin it for me because I'm just watching it because it's a novelty and they're all, like, the main characters are back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not expecting some crazy ending. You know, I'm just expecting it to end.
There's one part in the movie where I feared for the lives of the characters.
At the end, it just says James Bond will return. No.
Pretty much, yeah. there's Hellfire rains down on Jurassic Park World, whatever it is now, and it says Dr. Alan Grant will return. No.
Jurassic World Park. Park no. World.
In fact, there's also no post-credit scene, so I just saved you 15 minutes. Shall we speak, since we are fondly remembering Jurassic Park, shall we fondle it?
Yeah, why don't we, let's go back. The year was 1993. The movie was Jurassic Park.
I didn't even fill out that section, did I? Yeah, just for those of you that aren't aware of Jurassic Park, it is a 1993. Well, actually, no, this is a special. You'll learn all the weird background information during the Namely 90s minute, right?
Sure.
But it's Jurassic Park came out in 93, like Andrew said. What do you remember about it?
Originally written by Michael Crichton, adapted to screenplay by Michael Crichton and someone else. And I believe that Steven Spielberg learned about the book when he was working on ER with Crichton. No?
ER came out after Jurassic Park.
But they were working on it, right?
Possibly. I don't. What I remember. Well, so the novel came out in 1990. But you're right. There's a bidding war for it before the novel came out between Spielberg and Crichton, or not Crichton. Spielberg and Michael Bay.
Oh, Spielberg! Thank God, Spielberg. I think what it was is maybe it was with the Schindler's screenplay. List. The ER screenplay came out before Schindler's List, I think.
Well, that also came out.
Similar timing. But yeah. In any case, yeah, great movie. You know, John Williams, hell yes. Just a good cast, you know. Love this movie.
It's a great, great movie with both Jeep and Ford product placement.
Except Ford Explorers back then were like, that was the model year where they just like burst into flame randomly, even when they were powered off. And that's where they got the term Ford Exploder from. That's not just a funny term people use. They literally burst into flame.
Oh, you were right. Spielberg learned of the novel in October of 89 when he was discussing a screenplay with Crichton that would eventually become the television series.
But that's back when the screenplay for ER was to be a movie and then it turned into a TV series. The rest is history.
Right. So that's background. What do you remember about Jurassic Park?
I remember like the dinosaur animatronic and CG stuff was like very state of the art and honestly still kind of holds up today.
It really does. That's one thing I left out of my Dominion review. The first scene that you see the dinosaurs in, one of the first scenes you see the dinosaurs in, looks like it's the CG from the original and not in a good way.
And where it actually was good is the models. When they actually had physical models of the dinosaurs, it looked really good.
Well, so fun fact, they originally were going to do all full puppetry for the movie, but then someone at ILM worked on a digital model of the T-Rex, or at least the T-Rex is going to be all physical.
Yeah. But now, are these technically a type of Muppet? I asked that about Sesame Street.
You did ask that about
these are Muppets.
Sesame Street. They were not working with the Henson Company.
Okay, you can ignore that random comment later in my notes. Okay.
But at least for the T-Rex, someone created a digital model. They were going to go full practical, and then someone at ILM was like working behind everyone's backs and made a digital model of the T-Rex for the movie. And Spielberg was touring ILM to look at what they were doing, I guess, for the either the practical effects or like the wide shots of like the brachiosaurs or whatever. And he saw the T-Rex and how realistic it looked on these early computer screens and was like, we're using that, to which the prop master got really pissed off about because he like made.
I just think it's so funny. Like Steven Spielberg's walking through this office full of like Gateway 2000s and they're just like trying to model dinosaurs.
This was like pre Windows 95 too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And then, my other fun fact that I know about this is that because of they were shooting the practical T-Rex in the rain scene, it got so waterlogged. That's why the model, they had to make the model of the T-Rex bigger because the face got so waterlogged. And that's why T-Rexes look like they do in the series.
Yeah, Gateway started making computers in 1985.
Oh, right. I guess that would make sense that they were around if they became popular in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. We had a Gateway 2000.
I had a Gateway as well. I think I had a 2000 as well.
They're now apparently selling computers in Walmart again.
That's unfortunate. Good yeah. for Gateway. My memory of this movie is I do not remember watching it much as a kid. Well, I don't remember. I remember watching it on TV. I know my parents left me with a babysitter and or a family member so they could go see it, which I was jealous of, but I would have shot my pants.
I don't think I was allowed to watch it, but I remember my cousins when they lived in Marysville, they always put it on in the downstairs of their house where the TV room was. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, this is lame, and went outside because, as you know, I'm not a big movies person. But now I'm like, why wasn't I watching this movie?
I remember the hype was big. And so when the second one came out, I had like the we've talked about this before. I had the playset with the like Tyrannosaurus, the bus with the dangling bus thing. I had that.
Oh, you said Torontosaurus. It's just like a giant dinosaur from Canada.
Roar, eh?
Oh, sorry.
Like, sorry to our Canadian listeners out there. Hey,
so sorry.
Especially, yeah. But yeah, so in between the release of this and Jurassic Park Lost World, I like got obsessed with it. But I don't remember the first time I actually watched this movie. I know it was on TV, but that's all I remember. This movie is scary for a child.
Showing it to our kids was kind of an interesting move. But I feel like the one we showed them was like lightly censored, whereas this one was not the censored version.
But well, it's like, yeah, when you watch it on TV, it's a little bit edited.
Yeah, true.
But now we just stream it straight into our brains.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other Jurassic? Oh, I guess we'll save the sequel talk for after a BuzzFeed quiz. You have a choice. We can do either what Jurassic Park character Ooh. Are you out of the three core characters, or only someone who has seen Jurassic Park 1,000 times can.
Do beat. You know? Can we do both and use the shorter one, or?
Sure.
I'm kind of curious to both. We could do one after, but
okay. Well, I mean, let's see how far we get or how fast we get through the first one. Then.
All right.
Are you more Jeff Goldblum, Laura Dern, or Sam Neill from Jurassic Park? And remember, you can find these in the description of the episode because that's more work for me to do. Hopefully you remember that. And to start, we have pick a dinosaur, Velociraptor, Tyrannosaurus Rex, or the Dilophosaurus.
I'm going Velociraptor.
I'm going to go T-Rex.
I think they're kind of cute toward the end.
Yeah, when they're trying to kill everyone. I think it's interesting that the velociraptor, the actual velociraptor is more the size of like a turkey. But the name sounded cool for whatever versus whatever dinosaur that they're actually based on. So Spielberg's like, velociraptor, pick a Jeff Goldblum movie. The Fly, Independence Day, Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok looks like a bad, it looks like he's in costume in an apartments.com commercial.
You're not wrong.
I'm going Independence Day, of course.
I'll choose Ragnarok just to stay different. He's actually really good in that.
Really?
Yep.
Pick a sequel. The Lost World, Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park 3, or Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
I'm going to go Lost World.
Dang it. I was going to... shoot.
Just because I've actually watched that in the last 6 months.
It's my favorite, but I'll choose...
you can pick the same one. We've already...
It still captures some of the original movie. You know, like, it's still decent.
And then it brings a T-Rex to San Diego because Spielberg thought he was done with the series.
That part was no good, but the rest of it was fine. Also, Vince Vaughn was an interesting casting choice.
Not a good one, just an interesting one.
Julianne Moore, I was just watching Evolution, which also, I like her. She's good and stuff.
Another paycheck. Pick a character. Ray, Lex, John. These are from the original Jurassic Park.
I'm a big Ray fan.
Hold on to your butts. I liked Lex as a kid.
Okay, well, you do you.
She was a hacker. She was kind of cute. I don't know. She screamed a lot.
Pick a Laura Dern movie or show. We have Blue Velvet, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and Big Little Lies.
What the hell is Blue Velvet?
No idea.
That's the dude from Twin Peaks.
And I thought it was Ron Livingston for a second.
No, that's what is the mayor from Portlandia.
That did not help me at all.
he's the original Dune guy.
What is Big Little Lies? I don't know that either.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know Big Little Lies.
It's an HBO show. I've not seen it.
I only know one of them, so I have to choose it.
Have you even seen The Last Jedi?
Yeah, actually, I have seen that one.
Oh. Have you seen Laura Dern in The Last Jedi?
Yes, I watched the movie.
Okay, I'm specifically asking you that because she goes, every time she shoots in that movie, you see her mouth the word pew. And there's no takes where she's not mouthing the word pew.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I'll send you the gif. Pick a priority, knowledge, family, or fun. I wonder which three or which one these all correlate to. Did you freeze or are you just thinking?
I mean, in reality, it's been knowledge, but yeah, I'm going knowledge.
I guess I'll pick fun. Pick a quote. We can discuss sexism in survival situations when I get back. I guess we'll just have to evolve too. Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. Can you name all three quotes? Or who said all three
quotes? Yeah, of course. But like, is this just what decides who you are?
Probably. I've always liked the, your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could.
But I'm going to go with the sexism one because I did appreciate that.
I was going to say on the recent rewatches, that's a great quote. It's your turn.
Pick a Sam Neill movie or show. We've got Event Horizon, The Horse Whisperer, and Peaky Blinders.
I've not seen any of these, but
I've worked with horses and whispering is cool. So I'm going The Horse Whisperer.
I know Event Horizon is like some sort of sci-fi movie, but it also it's like a sci-fi thriller. So I'll go Peaky Blinders. Pick a character from Jurassic World. Claire, Owen, or Maisie?
I thought this said malaise at first. Like tiredness.
Also, I swear to God, this was 10 questions when I looked at it originally.
I'm going Claire.
I guess I'll go Owen because I'm not a clone. Pick a 1993 movie, The Sandlot, Groundhog Day, or The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm going Groundhog Day all the way.
I'm going to go The Sandlot.
And no one's going, "'Twas the night before, 'Twas the nightmare before Christmas." My God, I'm having a stroke over here.
I hate that movie.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I got Ian Malcolm.
This quiz is such a piece of...
Just gonna...
Yeah. Grow some curly chest hair real quick. Are you wearing high-waisted black jeans?
As a funny and carefree person, so apparently the fun one is what I got. As a funny and carefree person, so me, you're great at lightening the mood in a tough situation. You're intelligent, outgoing, and flirty. You have an adventurous side, and sometimes you're not good at knowing when to call it quits. Wow, that's a really harsh
day. And in a shocking turn of events, I got Ellie Sattler. Because I chose her quote. "You are an incredibly smart and curious woman who isn't afraid..." Wait, hold on. No, I'm kidding. "You are an incredibly smart and curious person who isn't afraid to step up and be the brave one in a scary situation." Not true. I just cower. "You're always either trying new things, working hard, or getting excited over the little things." This is a bullshit quiz.
Yeah, it's not great. And we spent 5 extra minutes on this.
All right. I'm curious about the other one. We can do it after if you want.
We can do it after. But let's try to sneak in some sequel talk.
Yeah, let's good do
or,
it.
We could do just a quick good or bad. The Lost World Jurassic Park.
Good
or bad? Good?
Good.
I'm going to say bad, but I still like it.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Jurassic Park 3.
Bad.
Bad. Jurassic World.
Yeah. Good.
I'm going to give it the same bad, but also...
An interesting take on the original, but good enough to be good because of the anticipation, but bad because it's actually bad.
It's that same Force Awakens thing, except it was nice to see an actual working park.
Yes.
Jurassic World Fallen Order.
No.
Bad. I'm going to... It's bad. Yeah, I would watch it on the same scale as The Lost World, which is weird. Jurassic World Domination.
Have I seen it?
Dominion.
No, I haven't seen it yet, so...
You haven't seen it yet. I'll say...
It's good.
I'm going to give it good.
Thank you.
Give it good. Or at least bad enough that I would still watch it. And then finally, we have the Netflix series Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous.
Bad.
Good to great.
I think it suffers from the thing that Prison Break suffered from, which is like, at some point, is this ever going to end? Like, come on.
They do manage to get off of Isla Sorna in time for the eruption, I think. And then last thing I remember is they've washed up on Isla Nublar. So,
out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Exactly. But they did find the Barbasol can. And that's,
I don't know what any of this is. I just know my kids watch it. It annoys me.
The Barbasol can from the first.
Oh, right. Yeah. The embryos. Dennis steals the embryo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Kayla's favorite song from the soundtrack.
And now let's toss it over to Brandon for the Namely 90s Minute.
Let's toss it off to Brandon for the Namely 90s Minute.
Okay.
Toss it off
that way.
Toss it off to Brandon. I was rolling dice there back.
Andrew just wanted to make a jerk off motion on screen.
Always.
Welcome back to our mid-episode break, Namely 90s Minute. Every week, we look back at a culturally relevant show, movie, or piece of pop culture that probably helps stoke the algorithm. This week, in honor of Jurassic World Dominion's release, we are looking back at the movie that started it all, Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park is a 1993 science fiction action film from the director of E.T. based off of a 1990 novel from the creator of ER, starring the Santa from the 1994 Miracle on 34th Street, The Fly, the woman who couldn't do a single take in Star Wars fake shooting a gun without saying pew, the guy who played the guy who played Odin in Thor Ragnarok, Newman from Seinfeld, Dr. George Huang from Law & Order SVU, and Mace Windu.
plus two really annoying kids. The story starts when a velociraptor feeding gone wrong forces the owner of Jurassic Park to bring in experts to sign off on the park. Chaos theory expert Ian Malcolm, paleobotanist Ellie Sattler, and paleontologist Alan Grant are given a tour by John Hammond, introducing them to the single carousel theater ride where they meet Mr. DNA and immediately get off the ride to enter a lab where they are birthing raptors. Ian Malcolm gets off the first of many great quotes ending with "Life finds a way." Moving forward, we're introduced to Hammond's grandchildren who join the lawyer and the three doctors on a tour of the park. Unfortunately, no dinosaurs show up on the ride, so at one point, everyone gets bored, hops out of the vehicles, and helps a sick triceratops. Meanwhile, a storm is approaching the island, and the justly underpaid man in charge of automating the island, Dennis Nedry, enacts a plan to steal embryos to sell them for money. This shuts down power across the island, including the electric fences, keeping the dinosaurs in their paddocks. Naturally, the tour breaks down in front of the T-Rex paddock, and as the T-Rex is escaping, the lawyer leaves the kids and hides in the Tiki Hut restroom. Dr. Grant and Dr. Malcolm try to save the kids, leaving Dr. Malcolm injured and the lawyer eaten on the toilet, while Dr. Grant and the kids escape into the paddock. Dr. Sattler and the park ranger Muldoon rescue Malcolm before being chased by the T-Rex on the way back to the main facility. Grant and the kids try to make their way back to the entrance and find themselves climbing the electric fence just as Dr. Sattler is resetting the power, resulting in Timmy getting shocked to death and unfortunately revived by Dr. Grant. Sattler is chased by raptors back to the main building as the raptors chase the kids through the kitchen. Eventually, everyone reunites and resets the locks on the system, yet the raptors just break through the glass windows and chases them out through the front hall before T-Rex Ex Machina saves the day. The movie ends with the survivors leaving the island in a helicopter to a beautiful John Williams score. And that's Jurassic Park in an Amy 90s minute. More or less.
And now, back to the show. I'm just saying a variety for your choosing.
So yeah, we made it through the first half of our Jurassic Park special, and now it's on to the usual let's talk about the movie part, or I somehow maybe timed it wrong.
That's what his name was. Newman. Thank you.
We are actually 12 minutes ahead of where I thought we were because I counted wrong. So should we just do it?
Let's go through the movie. All right. Well, the movie begins with an intro sequence or opening scene. Imagine that. The end doesn't come first. Wow.
Actually, according to you, there's a Father of the Bride remake with Anthony Garcia.
My very first note is, really, a Father of the Bride remake with Anthony Garcia? No, thank you.
You got to bring him in for the third movie. Yeah, so I don't know where we want to go. Your notes, my notes.
Maybe some combination thereof. I do want to say that like the initial titles of this movie look very cheap and bad, but I kind of give that a pass because the rest of the movie is epic and they probably spent a lot of money on it. So, you know, I'll give that to them.
Also, it was 1993.
Is that word art?
You've not seen the movie that I had to watch the first time with All 90s Action All the Time, but it was the sequel to Escape from New York, Escape from LA, and that came out around the same time as this, and that movie was
just really bad.
It was, yes, graphics wise,
so bad it's just bad.
Yes.
And the other thing I have to mention is, you know, they're all like standing there with that establishing scene of all of the workers with their Jurassic Park hats on. Mm-hmm. I have two questions. Would they really need the logo on their helmets? And second of all, what are they worried is going to fall onto their head?
Weren't they saying the raptors were like breaking stuff?
Were there coconuts in the trees above them?
I mean, hey, raptors got a rap. Good point.
Raptors got a rap.
So we open on the scene where they're feeding a velociraptor. So up until literally this watch through, I thought that they were moving a raptor in from the cage that they were connecting to the pasture or the gated area that they're walked in, because I'm an idiot. But you see his eye through the...
Wait, they're not loading it in? I thought they were loading it in.
No, they were feeding it. That was how they fed it before.
Oh.
Yeah, so literally this watch through, they're like...
I didn't even catch that.
Neither did I.
I thought it was actually a dinosaur in there. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, because that's why they brought everyone to the island, because they were feeding it. And then when Muldoon references it later, he's like, we now have to feed them this way because of the incident.
Oh,
yeah.
If you're on Twitter and you think Brandon's wrong, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let us know at namely90s and 90s. But it is like my brain. I thought it was they were moving the raptors in the whole time, but they were feeding the raptors, and the raptors kicked the thing back.
The thing that's gonna keep coming up in this whole special is for a place that's so state of the art, why could the light turn green if it wasn't actually fully latched into the little mechanism?
Yeah, were there not like extra brakes behind the thing, or
why is there a yellow light? Because the yellow light means almost connected, and the green light means fully connected. So why did it not remain connected?
That's a good question.
Like, if you're working with animals like that, shouldn't there be like a second guy who's like, yes, I've verified that the latches are engaged?
Like, were they implying that the latches were so weak that the raptors were able to dislodge it?
Use better latches. Also, why is the way they open it just like a dude on top, like lifting the gate? This place is fully automated, but you need the dude that lifts the gate.
Well, because they went with the cheapest automation guy, and you saw how that turned out.
But yeah, talk about a workers' comp claim, which they then call back to and they talk about the $20 million lawsuit by the workers' family.
It was like, why was no one shooting it? Like,
yeah,
you hear Muldoon and he's yelling, shoot her, shoot her. And like in a zoo,
someone shoot the damn thing.
Like, it's unfortunate that it happens because people are stupid. But if you get stuck in a lion's enclosure or some sort of vicious animal.
Hey, the tiger who attacked Siegfried and Roy. Which one is it?
Yeah.
He's still alive.
Siegfried. But
was still alive. I don't know.
But like, you hear like the gorilla that died because some idiot went into their enclosure. Like, it's, you shoot the animal. even if it's an expensive piece of technology. And I'm sorry, that's how it works. The menageries, zoos aren't good, whatever. I'm behind you 100%.
I do have...
Regardless, that's what you do in that situation.
A couple of things I need to say about the amber scene, mm-hmm. where the lawyer goes to the amber mine. Yes. First of all, the amber mine isn't where the danger is. So, like, if they're worried the park is dangerous, why have they sent this person to the mine, other than to obviously establish, like, the plot? But... And then the other thing,
mine's in Puerto Rico, isn't it?
No, I think it was in Africa somewhere.
But
the other thing that bothers me is like, so the insurance company wants experts to sign off on the island, but like the experts they've selected don't know anything about like the statistics of risk or actuarial science. So they'll just be like, yeah, it's fine. There's like dinosaurs there. But like the insurance company literally only cares about the statistical probability of the park failing and having to spend money on the liability. They don't care that like they think the dinosaurs are cool or rad. Like, it's all statistics.
I think the insurance company was just like, we need someone to sign off on it. And Hammond's like, these people will sign off on it because it's cool.
And the last thing I just read on some sort of like bad Ranker article about things that are inaccurate is that apparently the mosquito and the amber in that scene is an elephant mosquito, which is the only type that doesn't suck blood. Well, you can feel free to fact check me on foxnews.com.
Hammond's daughter is getting a divorce, we learn.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, they said it early on. Which is weird that they said it before. Why didn't they shoot the thing? But yeah, they need two experts. Oh, that's why Hammond wasn't there in person to at the Amber Mine. Yeah. But yeah, I really liked John Williams' score. And like for this intro, you kind of get Raiders of the Lost Ark vibe. Like it's not the same intro at all, but it's Spielberg and it's like developing story, and John Williams kind of score kind of just like brings it through it. And then we get to a dusty man wearing a fedora, more of an Outback hat, but
I do have to ask, why was Muldoon, like, everyone else is wearing hard hats, but Muldoon is wearing like a soft, like, safari hat or whatever it was.
Well, there's a hard hat underneath.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's actually, it is a hard hat with felt on it. No, I'm just, but yeah, the thing that first struck me is like that scene when they're dusting the sand off the skeleton is, why is that just pure beach sand? Like, there's not a rock or a twig, you know?
It's for the movie magic. Just like how when Sam Neill got near the monitors, or sorry, Dr. Alan Grant got near the monitors for the, were they using sonar to figure out where the,
well, and the thing is that bothered me, he's like, I can see not knowing how to use a computer or not trusting it.
It was the early 90s,
but to actually hate them, like, before you even, like, I don't know, it seems stupid. And then the other guy was being such a blowhard. He's like, you won't have to dig anymore in a few years. It's like, what would it, like, somehow using sonar, which is limited in its resolution, like, construct a 3D model and then 3D print the bones, you jackass? You still have to dig them up. That was so stupid.
I liked that. So that's the scene where they're like trying to set up that this is not a kid's movie, because there's the fat kid that's like, that doesn't look so tough. And then Dr. Grant, for some reason, is allowed to carry around a raptor claw.
Yeah, of course. And that's not creepy at all.
And threatens the kid with the claw.
He's like, come back to my trailer and I'll show you the raptor claw. That sounds...
Sorry. Well, he shows the kid like three or four different ways the raptors would kill him, which is interesting. Remember that when you're watching Jurassic World Dominion.
The thing that also bothered me is he kind of referenced that whole theory about dinosaurs being like birds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when he said it, like, the other paleontologists were laughing at him like he was some kind of a weirdo. And I'm like, if you're like a paleontologist that's with this like sort of renowned paleontologist digging up dinosaurs, why are you like surprised at that theory and laughing at it? Shouldn't you kind of know that that's a thing?
That is a good point.
And then the next three things I wrote, which I have to say, is, wow, that kid got pwned. And then, why is this kid even here? And then, great monologue. It really is, though. Good acting.
And then the next quote is, if you wanted to scare the kid, you could have pulled a gun on him.
Yeah, isn't it nice that back in those days, that was like a funny joke, and now it's like an actual legitimate thing that people do to shoot children? Mm-hmm. Not
that joke
well.
Does not age well.
No.
Yeah, so also he brings up that the T-Rex's visual acuity is based on movement, and then I have to, yes, why is the kid still even here? I had the same.
Why is the kid even there to begin with? I just don't understand. Who's his dad? Who's his parent?
That is a good question. Where is his parents?
He's a ghost.
And then Ellie clearly wants kids, and I think they are in a relationship in this movie.
It's referenced later. Malcolm's like, are you and she, and he's like, uh-huh. That was pretty much it. I'm like, wow, he's like a lot older than you, but it's like a whole grad student, you know, doctor thing. But she's also a PhD,
Dr. Jones.
Andy,
Ellen. Except Ellie Sattler's a badass.
Yeah, true.
Unlike,
he's a BAMF.
Bird, I'd like to. Badass.
the thing that's always bothered me, I'm sorry, this has always bothered me about this movie is
kids smell.
They turn around, they see the helicopter, they're like pissed. They're running directly toward the helicopter, and somehow Richard Hammond, an infirmed old man, is able to hobble down into the trailer, is already rummaging in the fridge. By the time they get down there, they're looking at the helicopter the entire time. How are they not seeing some old man wearing all white hobbling to their trailer?
It hasn't landed. Like, so what I think happened is that Hammond arrived like via car or something, and is like, and then wanted to airlift them out.
So they drove like 4 hours from Chodo to the Badlands in like a Mercedes.
Or, well, he could. They couldn't have landed further away and have him walk in. They would have, like, yeah. That's the only thing that makes some sense.
I think they just didn't. There were things in this movie that, like, it in your mind, it was a long time had passed, but they made it seem like no time had passed.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of continuous throughout the movie, but, you know, whatever.
But he stops the helicopter before it lands. He's like, turn it off. And then the pilot's like,
yeah.
Anyway, that was definitely not 5 minutes.
No.
We get introduced to the character of, God, I always forget his name.
Dodson?
Newman.
Oh, Newman. Dennis Nedry.
Dennis Nedry. That's such a great name.
Well, the first thing I did notice, though, is like when Dodson pulls up, the nefarious bad guy, he's wearing like these really bad high-waisted, like pleated linen slacks. It's just so 90s. Wow. Am I the fashion police?
He said wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
And then I wrote, haha, it's the guy from Seinfeld. Ripped to the max.
Ripped to the max. I actually wrote that in someone's in memoriam.
The dude's a cartoon character. Like, it's so overacted, but it works.
Yes. This is where we're introduced to the can of Barbasol, which was a shaving cream company back in the day. The bottom came out and it had places where you could store cryo frozen DNA, I guess.
I love the part where he like takes the shaving cream on his hand and like wipes it on the dessert tray.
That's pretty good.
Like whipped cream.
And then he makes Dodson pay the bill.
Yeah, no, that's a power move right there.
And then so we're back with the main heroes, Ellie and Dr. Grant and Dr. Sattler and Dr. Grant, and technically John Hammond has a doctorate, doesn't he?
No, I don't think so. I think he's a businessman, maybe in business. I don't think it's Dr. Hammond. No.
I'll have to Google that. But they meet Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Who's like
It says Dr. John Hammond on
Wikipedia. Who's a chaos theoretician? Is that a term?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But yes, he's a expert on chaos theory, which he then later explains in the movie for no reason.
What's there to be an expert on? Like, there's chaos. We can't predict it. Okay.
Chaos theory is a mathematical principle. I wish I had written more down.
Well, I guess, as you said, see, what I said was, I feel like it was some kind of a fringe thing kind of in the late 80s that Michael Crichton kind of latched onto, but it isn't really like, obviously Ian Malcolm sort of like makes it more mainstream, but in reality, it's like just a bunch of boring mathematical shit that no one cares about. And it isn't part of the mainstream.
It's definitely a bunch of boring shit like fractals.
Oh. Can I?
Yes.
I should ask, why is the hell? I mean, I think it's just for the movie, but why is the helicopter flying so low? Like, if anything goes wrong with the helicopter, it's just going to plummet into the ocean immediately. Like,
isn't it?
Is that normal for them to fly so close to the surface?
I mean, I've seen helicopter tours of that part of Hawaii.
Like skimming along the surface at, you know, however many 250 miles an hour or whatever those helicopters do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that, but it definitely, I know there are helicopter tours through that canyon in Hawaii.
Okay.
Which, I suggest you guys go see. But it's a different island.
I think the most important thing, though, about this scene, the helicopter flying, is John Williams is a national treasure.
Absolutely.
So good. So many good scores. This one's one of the best.
Star Wars is the best?
I said one of the best.
Yeah, that's fair. But just so many good. Like, can you list more? Indiana Jones.
Well, I know those.
Harry Potter.
Oh, he did Harry Potter. I didn't know that.
Home Alone.
He's just so prolific.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, his style isn't, like, it's not odd. It's not unusual, but yet no one can replicate it, you know?
It's full orchestral.
It's full orchestral, like, and it's like,
there's a classical.
It's pretty straightforward. Like, there's not a bunch of gimmicks or funny little things, you know? It's just good music made well for movies.
Which, you know, if there's one composer that you would want for the Jurassic World franchise, it is Michael Giacchino.
Danny Elfman.
Well, no. I say Michael Giacchino, whatever. That composer, because he is very good at taking what everyone else has done and making like tributes and little hints and callbacks to that.
Very cool.
But also it's like, it's not the original. No offense. He's a good composer, but he's also like just redundant. Not redundant. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
He essentially copies other work and adapts it into his own.
I'm a little mad about the seatbelt thing.
In the Jeep?
So in the helicopter, there's like turbulence, and Grant can't figure out how to plug the seatbelts together. And I'm sorry, tying your seatbelt, really not clever, not ingenious. I mean, like, you have a PhD and you can't figure out a seatbelt.
You can't figure out computers, Andrew.
Tying the seatbelt proves that you don't understand the concept of how a seatbelt works. Like, it's stupid. But I think they're trying to show that he's not going to be phased easily. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
By tying a seatbelt together?
Yeah, but you know they're trying to set that precedent. And, yeah, I don't know. It's But as most of these movies have that same stupid trope where the scientist is like, this is a bad idea, this isn't going to work. And then they're like, relax, everything's going to be fine. Nothing can go wrong. This volcano didn't erupt yesterday, so it can't erupt today. Dante's Peak.
Right. So they get in the Jeeps and they take the Jeeps to the facility. But on the way there, they see their first dinosaurs with the classic Ellie has Dr. Sattler has a like prehistoric leaf in her hand and is like, this doesn't make any sense, this is a prehistoric fauna, blah 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 blah. While everyone's just like staring off the side going, holy shit.
I thought they acted that very well, considering there was nothing there.
The wonder and gaze at the awe. The awe and wonder.
Wondering gaze. Gaze. Yeah, it was just a herd of wandering gaze. That's
G-A-Z-E gaze. I don't even know if I spelled that one right.
The thing that I thought was funny is when Malcolm's like, you did it, you crazy son of a bitch, you did it. And the Jeep driver just looks at him like he's just super jaded. He's been seeing these dinosaurs for like 2 years. He's like, it's no big deal. Whatevs.
And everyone else is just like, oh my God.
He's like, can we get to the lodge? I've got my lunch breaks coming up.
And at some point they say they mention the T-Rex and Grant's like, you have a T-Rex. And they say the T-Rex goes 32 miles an hour. That's just something to remember for later.
Yeah, exactly 32, which is exactly the speed between second and third gear on a Jeep. And then the thing that kept bothering me was like, so they see the dinosaurs and Grant's like, it's warm blooded. It's like, first of all, you work with dead things. Second of all, how can you tell that just by looking at it?
I would assume it gave off bodily heat
from that distance. Maybe. I think
he was holding it.
No. This is when they were looking at the big dinosaurs. He made a comment about them being warm blooded when they were on that like prairie at the beginning.
I thought the comment was when he was holding the raptor.
No, I talk about that later. He says, this must be in the high 80s. And I'm like, you don't touch live animals. How do you know what the high 80s feel like?
Well, it'd be just a little colder than you.
True. But the other thing, I said, Jeff Goldblum, is it just me or does he have a whole perm and chest hair situation going on? And why is it working for me?
Well, it's better than the actual term for what that was. His hair. His hair. Yes, he does, Andrew. And he is working for you. Should I do the buttons again? Yeah. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Can I just tell you a funny thing about my kids? They have all these Lego guys that just reminded me. And like on the shirt of one of them, he has two radioactive symbols because it came with like the radioactive thing. I don't know what it came from, but the kids call him Nuke Boobs. He's got nuclear symbols where his nipples should be. Nuke Boobs. That's right, folks.
Slap it on a shirt, sell it on the store.
Anyway. So what's next? Then they get to the lodge, right?
They get to the lodge. They meet John Hammond. And I skip all the way to when they start the carousel ride.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much skip to that because there's a few things that I have a problem with in that whole scene.
Okay, so they meet John Hammond. He's like, oh, let me show you the first ride at Jurassic Park. And it's like, it's the World of Tomorrow ride from Epcot Center in Disney World, where you sit in a carousel and then you're just kind of rotated around watching. Well, he starts with the video. He starts with the video where it's like John Hammond's on screen and also in the audience, and he's like, hi John, and he takes the DNA and Mr. DNA gets created.
But you make a good point.
I do, but it's also someone else's point that I've stolen. Oh, so
darn.
But is he going to do each ride personally?
Yeah, he's just 27 times a day.
Yeah, like, because he's the one saying hi John and it's pre-recorded,
and again,
so the joke is that it's pre-recorded.
And again, it's a state-of-the-art park and they're just gonna go with a video recording that he just talks back to.
Yes, with it looked like maybe 15 seats in that auditorium.
Yeah.
And then we meet Mr. DNA, and then they move on to the next wall, which is they show the scientists making the dinosaurs, which would mean John Hammond would have to go back to the previous room because there's another set of 15 people open auditorium.
But my question, why do they need like a safety bar that comes down for a room that slowly rotates?
For the same reason they should have locked the doors on the Ford Explorers.
True.
But yeah. I see where you're coming from. And then we have Andrew's favorite line from the movie. when they're the lawyer asks about the people working on the dinosaurs in the
lab. These characters autoerotica? That's a great, that's in there. That's a good one. It's a gem.
Hammond's animatronic. No, they're real people. And then that's where our three heroes get up and out of their chairs and into the actual lab.
The only other thing this movie does that makes me mad is like trying too hard to sound sciency. Like, how do you interrupt the cellular mitosis? Don't be a jackass. You don't have to say
not cellular. The fact that you can push the bars up on the ride and then enter the lab. Like,
they didn't even think, like, why is there even a door from the weird spinning auditorium into the lab?
Exactly.
There should never be that. No one should ever be moving from the lab into the little car or vice versa for any circumstance.
You are a child actor at Universal Studios Florida in the early 90s. You are seen but not heard. And then we get the Life Finds a Way speech.
Which is a great one. And I have to also say, this is the point where every time I watch this movie, I realize I've forgotten and then remember that Samuel L. Jackson is in this movie.
That's a good, yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, he has such a small part, but it's also awesome. And he has a great line, the hold on to your butts line. You mentioned BD Wong's in this.
Yeah.
who is that different from Benedict Wong?
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Exactly.
Cucumber Sandwich? Earl of Sandwich?
Earl Grey Tea?
What's that show?
According to Jim.
I was going to go with what was the Earl show?
My
name is Earl. Dang it. According to Earl. It's a spinoff.
I think they tried to spin that show off with the developmentally delayed.
And then they do the whole bit about how the dinosaurs can't breed, which I'm like, wow, you're one cocky son of a bitch. And then
they're all female.
I found the line of, does someone go out into the park and pull up their skirts? Like, I found that kind of creepy. It sounded like...
That sounds like a Jeff Goldblum ad lib.
It does. And then he does the classic line, life finds a way. And then I've written here in a non-inflammatory way, through legislation made by Republicans to force it to find its way.
Non-inflammatory?
I was kidding.
Right.
It's bad.
Unless it has to do with gun law.
Right.
Then it's C'est la vie. And then the raptor hatches, and Hammond insists. Not only does Hammond insist on doing every single tour himself, apparently,
yeah,
he also insists on imprinting on every single dinosaur born on the park in the park.
But that whole situation reminded me of the dinosaur show, like the weird eggs trying to hatch.
Not the mama. Don't hit the baby. Which brings up an interesting question. If he's imprinted on every dinosaur in this park, why was he afraid when the gates went down?
Yeah.
Shouldn't he have just like gone out like Jesus among the dinosaurs and be like, come to me.
This next line is the one I was referring to earlier, which is when
Jesus among the dinosaurs.
When I saw Muldoon come onto screen, when they like go visit the raptors, first of all, I noticed the epic short shorts. I'm sorry. 90s, why am I noticing all these things? But
why are you?
And then immediately reminded me. I was like, the whole like Chris Pratt like Caesar Milan routine with the baby raptors is complete trash. You know, like Muldoon, I actually trust. Chris Pratt looks like the kind of guy who would, you know, show up shirtless to with a We the People tattoo and a flag themed jort to your 4th of July barbecue.
You're really going to enjoy the 6th movie.
I like a good flag jort. If you will, can you please post that on the video?
Yes, I will. I will
remember. I feel like I need to re-deliver to that because I kind of stumbled through, but whatever.
Andrew is getting advertisements for flag themed jorts on his Instagram.
Oh man, that's a good punchline. Too bad I can't deliver them. Is that a henna tattoo? God, I hope so.
They feed a raptor a steer for some reason. Then they get fed Chilean sea bass, which looks terrible, by the way. Yeah. Have you ever wanted to eat that?
Chilean sea bass is disgusting. I tried to have it once.
Just to say you had it.
It was bad.
And then we get the first kind of like Hammond feeling out everyone on if they're going to approve of the park or not. And the lawyer's the only one that wants it. And Hammond's like something to the extent of, oh, only the blood-sucking lawyer is agreeing with me.
The lawyer's super money-hungry, which is like a stereotype. Yeah. And it's not wrong. But it's not like he gets the profit. Like, he just gets to keep his job, maybe make a little bonus, you know? But like, I mean, we're going to make a fortune. Yeah, you're not, though. You know what I mean?
He's probably getting paid in like stakes in the company.
I thought you meant like they were sending him. They were buying a subscription to Omaha Steaks.
I was about to make an Omaha Steaks joke. But then we get the Jeff Goldblum line.
Yes. A great monologue. What is the line?
Your
scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. And then I wrote preach brother afterwards, which I probably shouldn't have revealed. And then I say, once again, ignore the scientist who warns it's all about to go wrong, only for it to all go wrong around 23 minutes later. Hola, Dennis Quaid. I always think Dennis Quaid in The Day After Tomorrow is like the pinnacle of that, in my opinion.
You watch more disaster movies.
And I do like the term rape of the natural world. It has a good ring and it another, still ages well.
Another Jeff Goldblum. That was sarcasm.
No, it does age well. Because that's what we're doing to the natural world.
Yes, but I mean, using the R word without saying what do people say? Trigger warning first.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's a quote. Quote, rape of the natural world, end quote.
You would still trigger warning, quote.
Okay, sorry. Trigger warning, don't watch Jurassic Park.
There you go. I mean, there's a lot of triggering things in it. Ford Explorer time. They get taken out into the what is it called? The automated tour of the park.
Yeah.
In two Ford Explorers that are clearly trying their best to drive on the line.
I just love that Lexi like loses her shit over the CD-ROM. She's like, it has a CD-ROM. God, what a time to be alive, right?
Well, yeah, again, that was before like Macs were the only like, I guess gateways were home computers as well. But CD drives weren't like even that big because it was 93. They're shooting in 92, 91.
The last thing is a tape deck.
Yeah, it didn't have floppy disks, man. It had a CD drive, an interactive CD-ROM. So that's right. They're introduced to Hammond's grandchildren. Who apparently are visiting because their parents are getting divorced.
Ouch.
Which, trigger warning. Lexi and Tim
show up. My question is, one, why is Timmy wearing a bandana tied around his neck? Is that like a style thing? And two,
I think he was copying Dr. Grant.
How have they managed to make a child so unlikable? I just can't.
You hate this kid, by
the way. He's so annoying.
But he's designed to be
more on that later.
Also they call him Tim, and yet not a single other time past this moment in the movie do they call him anything other than Timmy.
Timmy, he falls down the well. This is already explicit, right? Probably at this point. Sure. I've said shit like five times now.
Well, yes, sure.
Oh, sorry.
So now we have Samuel L. Jackson smoke acting, or do you have
I'm something? Passionate. No, I just, there's going to be stuff later.
Okay. Ford Explorer. You're passionate about children?
No, just the movie. So they all get in the Explorers, right? And then they turn the ride on.
Yes, they go into Jurassic Park. The gates open.
But the thing that bugs me is like it cuts to the control room. And like Arnold and everyone else, they turn on the ride.
Mm.
But they're like, they know there's a storm coming. For some reason, their computer shows like a 3D rendering of it. And it's like almost on top of the island. And they're like, maybe it'll go a different way. Well, let's just start the tour and send these people to their deaths.
You know? Well, either way, they have
cool
like,
story.
They're like, oh, we have an hour or two, which they did. And we have the hold on to your butts line from Samuel L. Jackson. Your butts. And
that's part I had this thought last night. They're like driving through the big Jurassic Park gates, or they're about to. And Lexi's like, are we going to hit that? And I just said, yes, absolutely. The ride starts with a mild traffic collision. She's old enough to know better. Sorry.
Well, it's like, I mean, there's like a Disneyland ride or two that make you think you're going to hit the wall, and then it just opens up the last minute. We get Chekhov's Dilophosaurus, which is, they show the photo of it, but they don't, the first two dinosaurs are no shows because it's a, are we swearing?
Yeah, we now? Did already.
It's a fucking zoo. So of course they're not going to just be like sitting at the front of the gates.
There's a herd of them. Why would there be a herd amongst the trees next to the road?
Right. And then given the size of the dinosaur, can't they just get through the electric fence gap?
Well, no, they have the little, shouldn't they have the,
there's no like mesh.
The mesh. Oh, see, they don't have the mesh. They should have the mesh. Also, couldn't they spit on you and you can just open the door of the Explorer?
Well, I guess they did have the mesh because they had to climb over. They had to climb over.
But,
the They need better cameras.
The other thing, I have to go into this. It's kind of a rant.
They could just spit at the Explorer. Yes. Well, that's why they're in the Explorer.
But they just unlock the door and get out.
Well, they should have put locking mechanisms.
But like the whole Dennis Nedry computer nerd thing is so annoying. Mm-hmm. Like to create the type of proprietary OS you would need to just like automate an entire theme park.
It's a Unix system.
You would literally need. Unix, yeah, that's the thing. You would literally need a full team of developers to create this. Like, you wouldn't be able to rely on one Dennis Nedry. And for what he's making for the embryos, if you truly had one person doing all that work, like, he should be making $500,000 a year. You know what I mean?
Yes, but he underbid all the other contractors. So he.
Yeah, but like, if your whole park runs on automation and you have a gazillion dollars, if he's that good. Please pay him $500,000 a year, please and thanks. You know?
At the same time, don't misrepresent your skills and abilities when you're trying to
bid. Or don't underbid and then be mad that you didn't get paid much.
Exactly.
Like if he's the best, get paid. But also, don't skimp on that shit. You know what I mean?
Yes, they should have hired someone else.
Also, like, why is the generator even connected to the computer system?
Well, I mean, like back then, there were smaller teams back then, right? Because like Nintendo games were made like 10 people.
But he's one person.
That's true.
And also the generator, like it should just have a failover switch where when it senses a loss of power, it turns itself on. It shouldn't be connected to the computer system.
Didn't they have to manually reset the breaker?
Yeah, I don't know what that goofy little paddle thing was, but that was real sweet.
That's how you prime
I've never had to prime breaker. A breaker that big.
That's because you don't live on a like an industrial farm.
I don't. No.
Like our breakers are like this.
So big. What are you doing with that? What's priming?
I think you're from. I think well, I'm probably wrong. So at namely 90s with the 90s on Twitter, I believe you're discharging whatever's in the capacitor, and then so that it can start without having to without shorting or something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm just talking out my ass. There's a goat. They bring up a goat at the T-Rex paddock to lure the T-Rex to the front.
And I said, right now the goat is bleating, but soon he'll be bleeding. And I love the lawyer.
Thank you for
what's the matter, kid? You never had lamb chops? Like, why does he have an accent all of a sudden?
I'm a vegetarian.
I know. I just wrote womp womp. I don't know why I wrote that. But I do appreciate this. There's a couple of like really solid feminist lines in here, like when Ian Malcolm says, God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs. And then Ellie Sattler goes, dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, sister. I was having fun.
He did actually write that.
I was having fun last night, okay?
You were. What's the I really hate that man quote?
Oh, when Malcolm is like blowing in the camera and like knocking on it.
Oh, yeah. Because there's no dinosaurs. Like, are we going to see any dinosaurs on this little dinosaur tour of yours? So this is where he creepily explains chaos theory to Ellie by dropping water on her.
But I have a real problem with that because he says at the beginning,
keeps touching her hair.
Well, that too, but he says the car should be still. But doesn't the experiment with water seek to prove that complex systems are unpredictable? So wouldn't the movement of the car just be more evidence that complex systems are unpredictable because the variables can't always be kept consistent?
No, it would be an additional.
Well, no, that's my point, though. So it doesn't like defeat his point if the car is moving. I see his point, which is if I drop it in the same place every time, but like. The world is moving. Ah.
I mean, from a mathematical standpoint and a physics standpoint, relative motion kind of
but he can't, is an additional there's factor. There's human error. He can't drop it in the same place every time.
That's true. I think his, which you acknowledge, his point is that he's trying to isolate as many variables as possible.
Well, proving that there's too many variables that you can't control that create chaos.
Well, to prove that even the single drop still has a chaotic movement.
And then I had to say,
which is not even what chaos theory is about, by the way.
No, I know.
It's the opposite.
They're trying to make it accessible for lay people. But like, why are, I said, and we talked about this, why are the doors even designed to allow you to just get out of the car? And then my man Muldoon comes in with that critique moments later.
Right. My notes are Jeff Goldblum being creepy and Malcolm, Jeff Goldblum being himself talking to himself as they get out of the car. And he's just like, and now I'm just talking to myself in a car.
And then they see a dinosaur out in the field. They're going to go investigate.
A pregnant Triceratops, I believe, which in years since this movie has come out, they've realized that Triceratops are actually just a younger form of a different dinosaur.
They get there and they're like, everyone stay here. And then Timmy like traipses forward, which at which point I just wrote, wow, Timmy has a GD listening problem.
You're going to enjoy some of my Timmy comments later too.
But like the other thing is, I agree with Ellie because tranquilized animals are still super unpredictable. Trust me.
Oh, it was tranked? I thought it was just
apparently Muldoon had tranked it earlier. He says
Muldoon tranked it earlier and then left it for the doctor to come out.
Exactly, that's what they said. And then I said, in reality, are they just touching a fat guy in a green suit? Brandon has a GD
listening problem.
it's like when Bella Swan, played by Kristen Stewart, is supposedly petting the werewolf, but she's just petting like a guy in a gray leotard with like a head cover on it.
I'm fairly sure the Triceratops was all practical.
It was. And you could tell because it actually looked real.
Yeah. And Dr. Grant was able to lay on it and then get pushed up and down. As
it was and I said, out. Oh, right. This is a Jim Henson autoerotica dinosaur, but damn, it looks real.
And then the paleobotanist became a paleo veterinarian because she figures out that it's was it pregnant or sick?
It was sick. And she kept saying something about every 6 weeks, but they never really brought that around. But there was like this awkward, prolonged close-up shot of Lexi's facial expression to the point where it was long enough to be awkward. And I couldn't tell if she was admiring Grant or admiring Grant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's some weird butt touching later in the movie that is noticeable.
And as a vet, I have to go here. So Sattler, the paleobotanist, notices the pupils are dilated. And the vet's like, well, I'll be damned. It's like, you're a vet. Checking the pupils is like normal physical exam. Who is this hack? This is the person they've chosen. Okay.
That's a good point. And then they find the dino droppings. I guess the storm starts to roll in early.
They could have no way of predicting that it would hit the island.
Mm-hmm. No way at all. And then that's one big pile of shit.
That's a great line. I actually forgot about it. It made me laugh again. But a couple things. They're talking about the storm, and they said, sustained winds, 45 knots. And I wrote, like the hot air that's coming from Hammond's mouth, to which I wrote, no, I don't deserve that one. And then Malcolm's outfit was killer. It was. He was wearing like, again, like the high-waisted 90s black jeans. Like it was, the man has some style.
Also, he's Hasselhoffing it around, yeah, kind apparently. Of. So I'd like to point out, we've not even reached the midpoint of the movie yet, which is where it turns from an interesting sci-fi movie into an action thriller.
Yeah.
But we get to the T-Rex scene. Or no, Newman betrays them.
Oh, Newman.
As the storm rolls in. Dennis Nedry, as Andrew puts it, shit starts to hit the fan.
So basically, he executes a computer program that like shuts down several of the park systems. He warns them that they're going to go down. He's saying it's like recompiling or something. But really, he's using the window to like get into the embryo room when the camera turns off, steal the embryos, and then he has to drive the Jeep to the dock to leave the island.
All in an 18-minute time frame.
But, like, this guy has a lot of trust in his computer skills to just, like, blast through with his bare hands a high-voltage gate that's supposed to be off, you know what I mean? Like, with no hesitation.
That's a good point. But, I mean, the cameras did go off exactly when he timed it,
too. Yeah, that's true. But, like, he's a horrible driver. Like, and how does he not know the island by now? Why does he need signage?
Well, he doesn't drive through the animal paddocks. So, also, in between when he starts to betray them to when he steals embryos, we learn Ian has 3 kids and a handful of wives.
Yeah, the future ex, Mrs. Malcolm. I love that line.
And then we get back to Dennis. And why would he just be carrying around a can of shaving cream?
He can't shave. He has no facial hair.
And no one questions this. He just has a can of Barbasol on his desk. Well, this desk is a mess, but
yeah.
Why would he's not? It is not. It is conspicuous at the least that he is carrying around his thing of shaving cream. So Timmy finds night vision goggles.
Yeah, I love the line though, where the guy's like, the lawyer's like, "Are they heavy? Yeah. Well, then they're expensive. Yeah, if that isn't the truth."
So the T-Rex, the electrical fences are down in the park. The T-Rex kind of eats the goat. And then is like, I'm going to just check the fences because why not? And then he starts to get through, which freaks the lawyer out. And he runs into the bathroom. And for some reason, Malcolm and
the fence cable snapping is like real scary ass shit. You know, like that's frightening.
And it's a great scene, too, because it's like it's Ian and Alan and they're in the car together and they're like just making a quip about the lawyer going to the bathroom. It's like, you got to go. And then suddenly the cables just snap.
I just love that it's like a tiki crapper he just runs into. But
which means that they did expect people to need to take a shit. Leave
the car, get spat on, and then and why is the bathroom right next to the T-Rex paddock? My God.
Right.
But my favorite thing in this part is when Malcolm just says, boy, do I hate being right all the time. Cause I feel like in those movies where there's always that trope, the scientist like should say, I told you so. They don't actually say it. In this case, I like that they actually call attention to that.
At the same time, Ian Malcolm is the reason for half of the crap that went on.
Oh, yeah.
And so not up to this point, not up to this point, of course. But the T-Rex escapes. Lex starts flashing a light around. So T-Rex goes to their car and starts like chomping on their car and trying to eat the kids. And then, in a stroke of genius, Dr. Grant pulls out a flare, distracts the T-Rex, throws it off to the distance, as the T-Rex is about to leave them alone,
yes.
Who pulls out another fucking flare? Yeah. Dr. Ian Malcolm.
I do have to say, I thought it was Timmy that turned on the flashlight, but it might have been Lex. Either way,
it was Lex.
Motherfuck, like, turn the flashlight off. It's so stressful. Well, so,
fucking Timmy, even though they never call him Tim again, fucking Timmy is yelling at Lex to turn the flashlight off the whole time, and she's like, sorry, I didn't know, and they're just like fumbling the flashlight, and it's like, okay, kids, come on, you turned it off.
Yeah, and then I do like, once this all becomes evident to Hammond, he's like, bring back my grandchildren. Which is code for, yeah, and screw everybody else. Just the grandchildren. The rest of them can die.
That's true. We forgot to mention Ellie gets separated from the group because she stays with because she's clearly a paleo veterinarian versus everything else, everyone else there. But her and Muldoon go out in the Jeep to go rescue everyone. So they take 2 people in a 4-person Jeep to rescue 6 people. Or I guess 5 people. 5 people? 5 people. Yeah. And then we get back to Dennis, who's making his way across the Dilophosaurus paddock.
Yep.
He even hits one sign, so he gets lost, doesn't know which way the east docks are, which, why would you have that inside the paddocks?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't. And then he has a Velma moment where he slips in the mud and I can't find my glasses. He doesn't know how to use a winch until he does immediately somehow knows how to use a winch.
Well, the thing is, you almost feel bad for him, but the boat left like 45 minutes ago. Like, there's just no way. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's bad.
And then Dilophosaurus shows up. He's like, treats it like a dog. He's like, tries to play fetch with it. And then it spits poison in his eyes.
I have a couple quick notes about when they arrived at the, well, first of all, I would say the tree descent thing with the car falling on them is very stressful. And then when Sattler shows up, first of all, she's like really knock-kneed in that scene. And I don't really know why. Like, is she okay? Does she have to pee? And then she's like, they're not here. To which I said, okay, thanks, detective.
I mean, she does a terrible job playing detective because there's clear, the gate's clearly open where the car, other car was. I guess you wouldn't know which car was which, but it's shot in such a way where, or it's edited in such a way where you think they're still like falling down. Like they should have come up on the T-Rex really quickly. Well, right.
Yeah. The whole thing was dumb, but I especially found it dumb that the subtitles said growling ferociously in brackets. Like, is there another way to growl? Growling sexually? growling calmingly?
The T-Rex paddock. That was the same area from before with the goat, right? Because you see the goat get eaten and it flies onto the car, right?
Yeah.
But they had moved on from the T-Rex paddock, so they at some point they had to have circled back. Comma, they're on a track.
Yeah.
So if you're on a single road track, where have you turned around to come backwards?
That's a good point. Maybe there's like a turnout somewhere.
But they're still going in the same direction previously as they were going through the T-Rex.
But they find Malcolm. They load him up on the Jeep.
Which you skipped over the part where the T-Rex eats.
Oh, Gennaro. Gennaro.
Yeah. On the shitter. Because Malcolm, like we said, Malcolm, fucking Malcolm, lights the flare and starts running. It drives
me nuts. But then they find him and they put him on the Jeep and then they hear the T-Rex coming. And so Muldoon and Sattler come running back to the Jeep.
First, they magically transport down to the bottom of the cliff.
Exactly. Thank you. How did they get up so fast?
I think they drove the Jeep down.
No, Malcolm was up top by himself.
Yeah, they found Malcolm. They put him on the Jeep and Ellie notices that the car's down there. And I think they've driven down.
Oh, I thought he was waiting up. I thought he was waiting up by the other cars.
No, I don't think so because, they run from the Jeep to the, or sorry, they from, they, run from the Ford Explorer to the Jeep and then they drive along a dirt path instead of the,
well, yeah that, and the, but that's where I love to use the line must go faster, must go faster.
He only says it once.
Really?
Oh. Yep. This is the movie where he says it once. He says it three times in Independence
Day. And of course he's like leaning on the gear shift so they can't shift. So stressful.
I love that they used the same, or he used the same line in both movies. So the kids and Dr. Grant have gotten away. They've climbed a tree and they've fallen asleep watching brachiosaurs. And then later on they start feeding them while they're in the trees. Lex gets sneezed on and then she says she's a hacker for some reason. Do you have more detail in your notes? Let's
see. At one point, Timmy's like, I hate trees. She's like, they don't bother me. I'm like, hey, fuck you. You just like nearly died in a tree. Anyway. And then the next scene cuts to Hammond like eating ice cream in self-pity while everyone else is out there like fighting for their lives. That's not a good look. And also,
he's an old man. What is he going to do?
The power's been out for an hour or two and they have like an industrial walk-in freezer. Why is the ice cream melting? Leave the door shut. Like, and then I wrote, is a flea circus really a thing before I knew what a flea circus was? And I just said, yes. The regular circus is bad enough.
Why do you have a YouTube clip?
I don't know. I think either there was like a boring part or it reminded me of it. Nothing's happening. Something about a map. That was a Family Guy. Nothing's happening. Family Guy, it's when Brian's a seeing eye dog and he takes the guy to the movies.
Gotcha. Samuel L. Jackson. So they realize they have to reset the breakers, right?
Yeah.
I'm not even caught up to where I am in my notes versus yours. Or you're not caught up to be in your notes. So Samuel L. Jackson's still alive. They say something about having to reboot everything to get rid of the old code.
But again, so why did it take him 20 minutes to come up with rebooting the system? Like, that's the first thing you do. And also, rebooting doesn't just like revert back to old code if you recompiled the program. That's not how that works. But it's TV, you know? It's movie. It's a movie. Cinema.
Hold on to your butts, he says. That's the second time he says it, right?
No, I think it's first time.
No, because he said it earlier.
But it's a classic MF line is what I said.
Yeah, because I have it earlier with the Samuel L. Jackson smoke acting. He says it when they start the ride.
And I said, you also don't shut down a computer by flipping a breaker switch. Also, how did that then turn off the main breakers? I'm so confused.
I assume it shorted the main breakers, but I have no idea. If Pirates of the Caribbean shuts down, the pirates don't eat the tour.
Yeah, I love that line. And then when Hammond is like trying to imply that he should be the one turning the power back on, it's like kind of vaguely sexist. And I just wrote, Hammond would absolutely vote for Trump. He's rich. He's an old white dude.
Doesn't care about kind regulations. Kind of sexist.
Regulations would apply to him.
Grabs them by the...
But about that same time, don't they get like... Grant and the kids almost get trampled by like this huge herd of crazy dinosaurs?
Dilapiosaurs?
Well, yeah. And then the T-Rex comes in and like starts...
horn thing.
Attacking them. And then they just kind of like slink away.
Yes, I don't remember. I do remember that that's where the sexism and survival situations quote comes from with Hammond. We see that the Raptors have escaped because, well, so Samuel Jackson goes out to reset the breakers. It's been a while. Laura Dern's like, Muldoon and I will go. And they go. And then they get out there and they're like, oh, shit, the Raptors have escaped their paddock. And Muldoon's like, both of us are not going to make it. You run like hell. And then he just stands there for 15
minutes. I hate that part. I really don't want him to get killed. I like him as a character. But like, shouldn't he know that the one in front of him is just a distraction? I mean, Grant knew it just from looking at the fossils at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. Muldoon, a seasoned like African safari guy, doesn't realize that.
They even have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
But I think he's like, he thinks that they won't chase her. They think they'll go for him, which he's wrong about. And she gets inside. She gets all the way down to the breaker. She pumps the primer.
And of course, that's when they cut to the children climbing the electric fence.
That part, yes. Perfect timing. Also, it's somehow become day again, even though I'm pretty sure they like did they sleep overnight in the
tree?
Yeah,
in and the tree. It was day.
And it was day. So it took them 12 hours to think of the rebooting
really,
idea.
Yes, it did.
At the very least.
And then the thing that really drove me nuts is just how deliberately she pressed each button. She was like, ka-chink, ka-chink. I shouldn't say that word. Ka-chink, ka-chink. Sorry, but it was like so deliberate and cheesy. I'm sorry.
And then Timmy gets electrocuted and a raptor immediately attacks.
No, Ellie. But the fake electrocution bit, I absolutely would have done that when Grant pretends to get electrocuted at the fence. That's me as a dad right there. And I will say that the dummy of Timmy flying backwards off the fence, it looked terrible, but it still looked better than the dummy falling from the dam in The Fugitive. You know, they had like six yes. dummies. They spent like $1 million on them. Of Harrison Ford.
And it still looked
it's like a ragdoll. Like
ragdoll, yeah.
And then I just wrote Samuel L. Jackson's motherfucking severed arm on Sattler's motherfucking shoulder. I was trying to go for a Snakes on a Plane reference, and that was the best I could do.
Wouldn't like get these motherfucking raptors out of my motherfucking breaker room.
Get these motherfucking raptors out of my that's funny.
But yeah, his arm, like she escapes the raptors into like another room, from the raptors into another room. And then the hand kind of just comes down and she's like, oh, thank God. And then she just pulls the whole arm with her. And
yeah, that's scary.
That's clever girl, which is a different scene, but, you apparently have a complaint about Stranger Things.
Well, first of all, when they sit down and start eating the food, when the kids get to the buffet and start eating,
oh, right.
I always hated that scene because like it's gross and there's like sounds that are really, but I'm like one of those people who doesn't like mouth sounds when people are eating. Anyway. When I say, whatever I'm hearing of Stranger Things from the other room reinforces my decision not to watch that program. I really hate kid focused shows.
It's such a good show. I haven't started.
Well, whatever I was hearing, first of all, it sounded like a sample of all popular 80s music. And then it was just like annoying,
which I love as well. This is why this is not quotely 80s or namely 80s.
This is when I chose the Velociraptors earlier. They're like, they're kind of cute when they like nudge the little thing. I mean, they're trying to murder you, but. Lastly, I have to say is while watching this movie, I started getting targeted ads on Facebook for Jurassic Park themed MeUndies.
Get 15% off MeUndies by going to MeUndies.com/namely90s. It's not true. We don't have a MeUndies deal yet. But you gotta, yeah. I guess I skipped over the clever girl line.
Yeah.
Muldoon gets killed by a raptor.
Girl.
And it's at this point I said Tim should be dead by now with the kitchen scene because he keeps every time he moves he clanks against something, he rattles something extra. The raptors should have picked him off. And then a raptor sees Lex in a dumbwaiter that she's trying to close or some sort of cabinet, but sees her reflection and just like rams into a reflective surface, giving itself a concussion. They trap a raptor in the freezer and just run away, and Grant comes in with a shotgun for the other one, doesn't shoot him, just like, oh, let's get going into the control room, because he found Ellie who was limping, and then jumps into his arms as they as she approaches the facility there. And they get into the security area that they're all staying in. Sandra Bullock is on your sheet for some reason.
Okay. When Lexi like does the whole computer thing, I just said like the whole hacker teenager thing is such a cringeworthy trope. And it feels like it's trying to be a spinoff for a movie, you know, like such as The Net starring Sandra Bullock.
I think it all started back with like a War Machine, or not War Machine, War Games with Matthew Broderick, but, like, in the 80s.
You wouldn't have like a visual interface where you would like drag things around on Unix.
But it's a Unix that's system. A
thing. I mean, Unix is a thing. But like it wouldn't be a visual interface. It's so cheesy. And like, I just can't stand it.
And there is, so Dr. Sattler was originally trying to mess with it, but then she had to go help Dr. Grant at keep the door closed for the raptor. Meanwhile, fucking Tim just standing there berating Lex about hurrying up, could have grabbed the shotgun, handed it to one of the two adults in the room.
And then they get out of that room. They get it locked, I think. And then they move on to another room. And it's kind of meta because there's like a velociraptor. Once they get into the ceiling, there's a velociraptor. And the genetic code is being projected onto the raptor, which looks really cool, but it's very meta.
I wrote, Tim, hand Dr. Grant the shotgun, you dumb bitch. And then, Dr. Grant, you dumb bitch, don't shoot through the glass at the raptor. That's how I was able to break it.
So they get into the ceiling.
There's weird butt touching.
Then they realize that they can sneak down. For some reason, there's like an opening that leads to the suspended T-Rex skeleton in the main lobby. But like all of the cables are pulling out of the ceiling. I'm like, okay, I realize they're extra weight, but like usually
not that much.
You would build in like, you know, you don't want a skeleton falling on somebody. Like, why are they all breaking out of the ceiling?
There would be at least three times.
Exactly.
Standard safety. And then Tim almost dies from a T-Rex skeleton falling on him. And I just left asking the question, why is he not dead yet?
And then, of course, the T-Rex comes and saves the day. I heard that the T-Rex has the scars from this fight in the future movies, the Jurassic World ones.
It does have the scars in the Jurassic World. That's pretty cool. I don't know if it carries over to the next two, because I don't know which T-Rex made it off the island. But yeah, apparently that scene originally wasn't going to happen that way. But they're like, we have this T-Rex model. We might as well put him in every single shot that we can. So that's why the T-Rex became the star of Jurassic Park.
Of course, there's not a spot of dirt on Hammond's white clothing.
whereas when the helicopter landed on and Dr. Grant was like stopping the helicopter way back in the beginning of the movie, when he walks into his little hovel that that Hammond's in, he's plastered. He's brown all over, and yet not a speck of dirt on Dr. Hammond.
And then of course there's the pensive self-reflective moment on the helicopter afterward. I said, why do I hate William H. Macy in Jurassic Park 3 so much? I loved him in ER.
Because he tricks Dr. Grant into going to the island
that
he
didn't go to originally. Yeah, and then that stupid cell phone won't stop ringing. It's like Timmy with the flashlight. And then I just wrote, pretty uplifting / epic ending, at least like the music and all that, for what just ended in abject failure. I spelled abject wrong.
You wrote
adjunct. And then I wrote, Michael Crichton, fuck yeah. And then I wrote, the book is better. The end.
I wrote, helicopter music, how do Sattler and Grant not end up together? Boo, Jurassic Park 3. And then I noticed that this was produced by Kathleen Kennedy, who's the current head of Lucasfilm.
Oh, I did that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Should we have, it's an hour and 40-ish right now. Do you want to wrap it or do you want to do that?
Let's do the other quiz now that we've talked through it and then we'll call it.
Okay.
This is called, you'll only score 14 out of 14 in this quiz if you've seen Jurassic Park like 200 times. The quiz that was 65 million years in the making. No.
Which is different from what is written on the URL because it says 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd point that out. Number one. What is the name of the guy who raises the gates in the opening scene before getting eaten? And it's Joffrey with a J, Jeffrey with a G, Godfrey.
I don't know this one. Do you know this one?
I'm pretty sure it's Jeffrey, the middle one.
Wrong. Joffrey. How could you know that?
Damn it. Because he says Joffrey.
Yeah, but some people pronounce okay.
I'm pretty sure it was just...
Which country is Isla Nublar off the coast of? Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, or Honduras?
Costa Rica, right? Well, we've already lost.
Yeah, but that's... I'm sorry. Joffrey and Jeffrey. Some people don't understand that Jeffrey is actually spelled G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y and will pronounce it Joffrey. So... Mm-hmm.
How's it written in the book?
I don't think that person is in the book. It's not that close.
Damn. In exchange for visiting Jurassic Park, how long does Hammond promise to fund Alan and Ellie's dig for?
It's three years.
Is it 3 years? I thought it was five. Okay. You are correct. Name this incognito character. It's a character of Dogson.
Dogson, yep. Well, there you go. We got it. See, nobody cares. Oh, according to Mr. Hammond, how fast is the T-Rex?
32 miles an hour! Boom. Also, if the T-Rex, like, they say the Velociraptors have cheetah speed, which every single Jurassic Park movie, just think about that every single time. Cheetahs run at 60 miles an hour. Think about that every time a character outruns a raptor in these movies. Okay. What was Dr. Grant's favorite dinosaur when he was a kid? Iguanodon, Stegosaurus, or Triceratops?
I don't remember.
I think it was a Triceratops, which is why it's like brought up in that scene.
Yes.
Ooh. She was my favorite as a kid. Now I've seen her. She's the most beautiful thing I ever saw.
According to Muldoon, at what age are velociraptors lethal?
8 months. 8 months.
And I do mean lethal. That's not his accent.
What does Hammond tell Dr. Grant they're having for dinner as a cow is fed to the velociraptors?
Chilean sea bass, which is actually a name. The actual name of the fish is the Patagonian toothfish, just in case you're wondering. They changed the name because it was easier to market.
That makes sense, because it is a very thick white fish, apparently. It looks so gross.
What bird does Hammond use as an example when trying to defend what he's done? Dodos, condors, or peregrine falcons? It's condors.
Condors. When Tim is bugging Alan about his book, he mentions a book by a guy named Baker, Cooper, or Ritter.
It's Bacher. Bacher. I think it is. Bacher?
It is. And his book was a lot fatter than yours. I remember that part.
Yes, I do. Now, what is the name of the plant Dr. Sattler thinks could be responsible for a Triceratops illness?
It's West Indian lilac.
Nice. That's one big pile of shit.
DNA from which animal is used to complete the dinosaur's DNA sequence, causing some to spontaneously change sex?
Frog DNA. Yeah. What color is the jelly on Lexi's spoon that wobbles when she sees the silhouette of the velociraptor? Green.
And finally, after Lexi's computer skills save the day, Dr. Grant calls Hammond. What is the first thing he says to him? Mr. Hammond, get us home. Mr. Hammond, the children are fine. Mr. Hammond, the phones are working.
I'm sorry, that Joffrey question. I've actually heard people pronounce the name Jeffrey with G-E-O-F-F as Joffrey. So I don't feel like you can tell that based on the dialogue unless it gets headed on his shirt. So I feel like we got 100%.
I'll take it. All right. Final thoughts on Jurassic Park.
It's a great movie. And
would you recommend it?
I don't know anyone who hasn't seen it, but I would certainly recommend it because I do think it's entertaining. The graphics hold up. It's a great cast. There's some problems with it, but it's a great movie. It's a classic.
I agree with your review. It is the best of the franchise, yeah, for one. It sets up a lot of interesting things for future, like, we didn't even mention the part where it's like, if we don't give them an injection of insulin, it's not insulin, every day they'll die. Life finds a way, apparently. But it does do a great job of combining, like, what if we brought back dinosaurs with the reality of what if we brought back dinosaurs. And if it's timeless, the CG holds up. It is just an excellent movie.
Even if it's not scientifically possible, the concept, which I believe was an original concept, of getting blood from fossilized amber and cloning animals is like, that's some pretty smart stuff. And that's the genesis of this movie, was Michael Crichton's mm-hmm. amazing brain ripped to the max.
Ripped to the max. And that's it for this week's special edition of Namely 90s. You find new episodes out every Monday, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Namely90s with 90s, or find us on our personal accounts at BeShooting at Namely Andrew, and tell us what you want us to talk about on future episodes. If you'd like to support the show, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Namely90s, also with a 90s. And finally, you can also contact us through our website, Namely90s.com. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Clever Girl, Deezer, TuneIn, iHeart, Good Pods, and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Brandon, that's Andrew, and we'll catch you next time.
Damn, that was a long one.